special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Ramananda Roy. So we'll speak about him this morning, and first we'll chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas before class in his honor. Jayandilo Premadanna Kona Prachu Bravo Pad, Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Ostotera Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abaya, Chatanara Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Jai, Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrindika Jai, Namacharya Srila Hoyadas Thakur Jai. Else, say, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Vedika, Radha, Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai Sisi Radhakrishna Gopikopita Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Vichuranam Kijai Chakravasami Kijai Yuvanamai Kijai Shiva Vilasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy wears such a personality as Srinivas Acharyagan. Where am I, Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmirikam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Ramananda Roy, who is the eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in his ontological position as Vishakha is the eternal associate of Krishna Vrindavan, and in his eternal position as Arjuna, he is the eternal associate of Krishna in Dwarka and Hastinapura. So there's many ways to explain this particular point. One time, sometimes people can explain it as like an empowerment, but rather, I would tend to explain it in terms of expansions. I think we were talking about, the other day, we were talking about Angsa. Angsa means expansion, just like we have Vibhinangsa and Swamsa. Remember we had this whole discussion? Vibhinamsa, of course, that's us. Jiva soul. Swamsa means, Swa means his own, Angsa. It means Krishna's own expansion, or Vishnu Tattva. So the Jiva souls who are, of course, we're not here talking about Jiva souls, but we'll talk about Shaktis in a second. The Jiva souls can have Angsas too, which is really interesting. In other words, Jiva souls, I don't want to say exactly like you and I, because we're talking about internally liberated associates of the Lord. They can expand, like we talked about Grandfather Bhishma, who expanded as Jal, one of the Vastus, in the heavenly planets, and that then came down to the earth planet to enact his pastimes in the Mahabharata. So that's an example of a Jiva soul expanding. Now here we're talking about a Shakti. Shakti is something different than Jiva. Jiva means you, I, you know, even great pure devotees like this divine grace Srila Prabhupada who were empowered, they're called Shaktivesh avatars. They're Jiva souls. Now, Shaktis are specific expansions of Srimati Radharani and Srimati Radharani's expansion, just like we have about Krishna. We have portions of a plenary portion, portions of a portion of the planetary portion, expansions of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Isn't it just like we have the Purusha avatars are portions of a portion of a planetary portion. Anyway, and they're all the same. So the same way Krishna's Shakti, original Shakti, of course that is Srimati Radharani, she's called the Adi Shakti, expands, first of all, as her primary associates, Lalita, Vishakha, and the other eight gopis, who are the associates of, not other eight, there's six other ones besides Lita and Vishakha. And then, of course, you have all the other gopis who or expansions, and some of them are jiva souls, and some of them are shaktis. You understand? So, anyway, so that's shakti tattva. So Lalita is definitely shakti tattva. Arjuna is jiva soul, though. So there's, so we can understand there's empowerment, and then there's a direct expansion. In the same way we have with shaktis and with Vishnu tattva. So, as far as Ramananda Roy is concerned, his father's name was Bhavananda Roy, and Bhavananda Roy is considered to be an incarnation of Pandu. Ramananda Roy and his four other brothers are considered to be the Pandavas. And it's very interesting. Anyway, so there's not much information. I mean, I try to find information about Ramananda Roy's birth and everything like that, but let's take it he was born in a what's considered a Shudra family, like a Kayasta family. But still, because he was born in a Shudra family, he was posted on a very high, in a very high position by Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra was the king of Jagannath Puri at that time. Still to this day, there's kings in Jagannath Puri. And the present king and the past king of Jagannath Puri actually visited ISKCON temples and gone to our Rath Yatras. And they want to allow ISKCON devotees to enter into the Jagannath temple, but unfortunately, it is the Pandas. We're not talking about pundits. Pundits is something different. Pundit means learning person. The Pandas means like the people who, basically they're the tour guides at the temple. You understand, you go into the temple and you give them a little donation and they take you around. And the Pandas won't let us in. I've tried to get in several times to the temple and even to the Gundicha Mandir, and they wouldn't let me in, even if I tried to bribe them. Actually, if they were intelligent, they could make a lot more money by letting the Westerners in. And Prabhupada got very upset with this, and he said, basically, Lord Jagannath is not Purinath, he's Jagannath, so you should let the Western devotees in. Still, they still don't let the Western devotees in, unfortunately. But of course, we should be humble, not try to trick our ways in, just like some devotees have tried to trick their way to go in. We find, in the case of Lord Chaitanya's associates, like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, who were actually born in very high-class families, and what to speak of Haridas Thakur, were born in a Muslim family, they didn't go in the temple. The reason they didn't go in the temple, at least Rupa and Sanatana, was that they had been considered to have lost their caste by taking association and employment under the Muslims. Whereas Haridas Thakur, obviously, was assumed that he never had a caste. So, but they remained outside. They never tried to push their way in. And as a result, Lord Chaitanya came. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is nine different than Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya would come every day to give him prasadam. So Prabhupada said, you know, we shouldn't try to push our way in. And Prabhupada one time said in Jagannath Puri, he says, unless they start to let us in, the Lord Jagannath will come out of the temple and reside with us. And so, of course, right now the devotees are trying to erect a temple there, and there's been some opposition from the Pandas in Jagannath Puri, not where the temple of Jagannath Puri is, but it's a little distance away. And there's been a lot of opposition because they're afraid that our temple will become more popular than the Jagannath temple. So if they let us in, there wouldn't be that problem. But people are just so stuck on their racism. It's basically racism. Racism, you know, all these things, racism, sexism, speciesism, you know, nationalism, all these things are just like against Krishna consciousness. Yes to Saravani Bhutani Atman, Evanu Prashati. So anyway, so Sarvabhauma, let's talk about Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was the governor of what we would consider today to be the area around Madras. And he was appointed by King Prataparudra. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood Ramananda Roy's exalted position. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was basically an impersonalist. I wouldn't say a Mayavani. There's a difference. Impersonalist means, you know, sort of absorbed in Brahman. But he really didn't criticize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like we talk about the difference between Mayavadi and Brahmavadi. He was more like a Brahmavadi. But also he had, I guess it might have been a little Mayavadi tendency, because he was expert in the studies of the Sari Rapya Bhasha, that means the commentary in the Vedanta Sutras by Shankaracharya. And actually, Prabhupada and the Acharyas state that if one studies these commentaries and takes an understanding of the commentaries, then he'll fall down from bhakti or devotional service. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya used to have arguments with Ramananda Roy, not appreciating Ramananda Roy's exalted position. Like he used to have arguments with his son-in-law Gopinath Acharya about Lord Chaitanya, about Krishna, and Gopinath Acharya would actually make fun of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because, you know, a son-in-law could do something like that with the father-in-law. But, so anyways, he didn't quite understand Ramananda Roy's exalted position, but he understood it after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him mercy. Sankirtan devotees. All glories to the Sankirtan devotees. So after he got the mercy, and so then, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to go on his tour of South India, he told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then when you go to the banks of the Godavari, you should find out the governor there, his name is Ramananda Roy, and you should associate with him. He's a great devotee. He said, I didn't appreciate him when he was here, but really, now I understand who he actually is. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his South India tour, and it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. First he went to this place called Singhachalam. Singhachalam is a wonderful place where Lord Nrsingadev manifests out of a mountain. His mouth is there, and he's just... Anyway, there's many places actually in South India. There's Mangalgiri, there's Singhachalam, and in this manifestation of Lord Nrsingadev, they pour this, it's also called Pani Nrsingha, because they pour the sugar solution, like not just the sugar that we know of, but it's a gore preparation. They pour into his mouth, and half of what he drinks comes out. No matter how much they put in, they can put in like 10,000 gallons, and 5,000 will come out. And the devotees drink what comes out. That is not so literally drinking. This is the one instance that I can think of that you're literally drinking the Lord's remnants that come out of his mouth. I mean, obviously we do that in the altar, but we don't see that. But in Pani Nrsingha temple, you actually see how the remnants come out of the mouth. You get a little lota and you drink the sugar water. It's actually quite nice nectarian, of course. Anyway, so then after that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the banks of the Godavari to take his bath. And when he was on the banks of the Godavari, he saw that there was a personality who was being carried in a palanquin, surrounded by learned brahmanas, and he'd also come there to take a bath. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood this was Ramananda Roy. Because, you know, in spite of being from a so-called Shudra family, Kayastha family, he was very much respected because of his position in the government. So there's sort of a little different that he wasn't just rejected from society, but, and there were learned brahmanas around him, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to run to see him, but he didn't do that. When Ramananda Roy looked at Lord Chaitanya, he saw the brilliance of 100 suns. And then he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. Of course, he offered obeisances first, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. And they embraced each other and lost consciousness and exhibited the Ashta Sattvaka Bhavas, you know, the eightfold ecstasies you know, like trembling, fainting, dancing, things like that. And they were rolling on the ground and they lost consciousness. And all these ritualistic brahmanas around Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were bewildered. They couldn't understand. You know, why is this sannyasi embracing this low class shudra? You know, because in those days, actually, you couldn't even touch. If you were a Brahmin, I mean, you couldn't touch a shudra. That was the restriction. And if a shudra stepped on a Brahmin's shadow, he could probably get beaten to an inch of his life. In other words, till he was practically dead. So these two were embracing each other, and all the Brahmanas were just like, what? What the hell's going on here? And this Ramananda Roy, he's an intelligent man, because he was a great pundit, too. And why is he crying like that and embracing this sannyasi? You know, what's happening here? So they were very, very confused. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after glorifying Ramananda Roy, and as the topmost devotee of the Lord, basically said, we should meet later because, you know, this is causing confusion to these ritualistic brahmanas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced himself as a Mayavadi sannyasi. He said, I'm a Mayavadi sannyasi. Because actually he did take sannyas from a supposed Mayavadi Kshatriya. So he took sannyas from a supposed Mayavadi, but who wasn't a Mayavadi. He was actually a devotee. Kshatriya Bharti Maharaj. And not our Kshatriya Bharti in the Hare Krishna movement, but anyway, different Kshatriya Bharti. And Lord Chaitanya actually initiated Kshatriya Bharti into the sannyasa order before Kshatriya Bharti initiated him into the sannyasa order. It's an interesting story. That when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was getting ready to take sannyas, he said to Kshatriya Bharti Maharaj, that last night I had a dream. And in the dream I heard this sannyas mantra. I want to just check with you if it's the right mantra. Let me whisper it into your ear. So he whispered the sannyas mantra into Kshatriya Bharti's ear. And that way he was initiating Kshatriya Bharti into the sannyas order of life, the Vaishnava sannyas order of life, even though he was in the Shankara Sampradaya. Well, actually was considered to be in a lower aspect of the Shankara Sampradaya. That had previously caused Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya some concern. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking he's just initiating a lower caste sannyasi. You know, just think about this, how people are so caste conscious. And to this day in India, sometimes certain places you find people very caste conscious. I do have a friend from Gujarat, and he was looking for a wife, and he couldn't just marry any Brahmin in Gujarat. It had to be someone of the same subcaste too. In the Prajapati subcaste. So in that way, even the sannyasi, they were concerned with caste. And even in the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course it's not the sannyasis or his sannyasis were concerned with caste, but they were very much into like hierarchy. It's described that insofar, of course it wasn't caste consciousness so much, but it was as insofar as who was initiated first. And even if someone was initiated the same fire sacrifice and they got their sannyas name and danda before you did, then you were lesser than them. I mean, that's, you know, real hierarchical structure. So, of course, as Americans, we don't believe in hierarchy, but there are good hierarchies. Yes. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered himself a Mayavadi sannyasi. But Ramananda Roy could understand that he actually wasn't. So that evening, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took prasad, and then he met with Srila Ramananda Roy, and they had this very interesting discussion, which is called the Ramananda Sambhava. There's actually a booklet that was published by one of my Gagra, I think it was Nishinga Maharaj who published this. It's a very nice little booklet. Have you read it? I have an e-copy if anyone's interested in it later on. And it's called the Ramananda Sambhava, which Prabhupada wrote. It's a more elaborate description of Ramananda Roy's discussion, or Lord Chaitanya's discussion with Ramananda Roy. and back and forth with Prabhupada's purports. You know, it's like a story, but the purports of Prabhupada's explanations are there at the same time. It's quite a wonderful explanation. Anyway, so a lot of that, or most of that, is contained within the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here's the discussion they had. It was actually a discussion of questions and answers. Like Lord Chaitanya was asking what we call rhetorical questions. Rhetorical questions means when a teacher is asking a student questions to see how the student understands things. And the teacher actually knows it all already, but he wants to examine the student. In other words, in this particular case, the student becomes the teacher, the teacher becomes the student, but it's actually a question of examination. That's what rhetorical questions means. Like if I was a teacher and I was asked, they ask a student, art class, how much is 1 and 1? And the student would say 3, and I'd say, well, think again. Tell me again. So Lord Chaitanya did the same thing with Ramananda Roy. So these questions are quite interesting. There are actually two series of questions. One occurred on the first night, the others occurred throughout the preceding nights. So here is the first one is, Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the ultimate goal of life, and what is the means of achieving that ultimate goal? And Ramananda Roy replied, that varnashram, or being in one's varnashram status, is actually either the goal or the means. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, we understand varnashram is useful. Prabhupada did say that half of his mission was not accomplished because he had not instituted varnashram in the Krishna conscious movement. One of the reasons Prabhupada said that was because so many devotees were falling down from the standard of Krishna consciousness. They couldn't keep their vows. Another reason Prabhupada said that was to engage a greater mass of people in Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada didn't expect like millions and millions of people to be taking initiation and following the four regulated principles. I mean, like we see, you know, out of Prabhupada's many disciples that he initiated, some people say 5,000, some people say even more. How many were able to continue following the four regulated principles and following the Vedic culture, whatever? And people really need to be engaged according to their propensity. I mean, in the beginning days of the movement, all of us thought what? That we're all going to be Brahmins. And, you know, all the men wanted to be sannyasis or whatever. That didn't work out. Nobody wanted to get married. That didn't work out very well. So, just like you had that Radha Damodar party. Yeah, they're all married now. So, you know, there was this thing, women, send the women to Australia. Tamal Krishnamurti made that proposal at the GBC, that all the women in Grahastha should be shipped to Australia. You know, because that's a penal colony anyway. And so, and Prabhupada heard that, you know. I mean, there was so much discussion, like in New York, they wouldn't let the women chant japa in the temple room. I remember going to New York one time, seeing all the ladies on the street hanging out, you know, on the street poles during the japa period. I said, what? Where is it? Why aren't you in the temple room? So we're not allowed to be in the temple room. And then probably got upset with that. Anyway, there was a lot of misunderstanding. But in any case, 99% of our devotees will be in the different ashrams, the different varnas. And even in our Gurukul training, there has to be some allowance for that. It's not that, you know, we put someone in a Gurukul and, all right, you're all going to become Brahmins, chanting mantras. And then they, what happens is, in many of the Gurukuls or some of them, people graduate with no skills, thinking they're Brahmins. There's no way to make money. And what can they do with their lives? You know, there's not much interest in hiring people who can do fire sacrifices. I mean, it's nice that people do fire sacrifices, but it's not such a lucrative business to be in. I guess in India is a place, maybe. So we find a lot of young people who graduated from Gurukul with actually no path in life. You know, they think they're Brahmins, but then they get they married and they don't know how to support their families. It's just like, wow, what's going to happen? So Varnashram is important for these various reasons. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this as the, you know, the ultimate goal or the means to achieve the ultimate goal. And then Ramananda Roy, he asked Ramananda Roy to state something else. He said, this is external. We're not interested in these external things. Like Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya was nirupeksha, wasn't interested in the material world. But Prabhupada said, we are interested in the material world. For saving people, for engaging people in Krishna consciousness. It's just a practical thing. I mean, sometimes people complain when, you know, people come on a Sunday and all our members are not like absolutely pure devotees, renounced and everything like that. And still may have some interest in demigods or something like that. You know, just let people approach gradually. You can't expect everybody to be a sannyasi. We did in the beginning days. That's the way it was, you know. I remember, you know, even if I was a brahmachari, I had one little possession. I had one tape recorder. It was my only possession in the world. And sannyasi comes up and says, can I have your tape recorder? And because you're a brahmachari, you're not supposed to have one. And I said, yes, you're right. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha. And I just gave up my four tape recorder and I couldn't hear Prabhupada anymore. Anyways. Of course, you don't want to go to the opposite extreme with brahmacharis with all sorts of paraphernalia, with special skin soap and $500 toothpaste. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya said, that's external, give me something better. And then Ramananda Roy replied, for this verse in Bhagavad Gita, yat kuroshi yadashnasi yajahoshi padasi yad yat papashashi kantiya. That Kushwa Marabana, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be done as an offering to me. Which is actually good. But Lord Chaitanya considered that to be, you know, karma mishra bhakti. So it's not pure bhakti right there, but it's a step. He said that's also external, you know, because you're giving things away, doing things for Krishna. What's going on in your mind? Are you just like paying the tax? It's like when we have our April 15th, you know, you pay the taxes, right? Then it's not that you're thinking, oh, great, I get to pay my taxes to Uncle Sam or Uncle whatever, Uncle Trump. Anyway, so I get to pay my tax. You're not thinking, this is great. You know, everybody's trying to pay as few taxes as possible, right? So, you know, you can give everything to Krishna, but you're thinking, you know, this is Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Give me a house by the sea. So anyway, so then Lord Chaitanya said, that's also external. Give me something better. And Ramananda Roy quoted this verse, you know, Sarvadhamam Pranachajamam and Kamsharanam Draja. Renounce everything and duties for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is really now what we're looking for. Say something more. So in this way, he rejected, you know, karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. Because Lord Ramananda Roy also presented this verse, Brahma Bhutta Prasanatmana Shachitina Kankshati, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhbhaktim Labhate Param. He said, I want something more than something external, I want something internal. And then Ramananda Roy eventually recited this verse, Anyavi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Navrita Manaku Yena Krishnana Shila Bhakti Uttamam. Pure bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya said, okay, you got it. You're right. But I want to hear more. And then Ramananda Roy began to describe ecstatic love with intense greed and the mode of neutrality. And then Lord Chaitanya said, that's good. I want to hear more. Something higher than the servitude. That means bhakti in the mode of servitude. Then Lord Chaitanya said more, and then they went to friendship, eventually, parental relationship, and finally conjugal love. And finally Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I want to hear more. And Ramananda Roy said, before this day, no one has ever asked that question. This is a unique question. And then Ramananda Roy began to describe Radha's love and Radha Kund, and eventually Lord Chaitanya was pushing him higher and higher to the Avipralamba and the Kaurava Rag and all these other aspects of the intense relationship between Radha and Krishna. And he described how Radharani left the Rasa dance one time and Krishna just followed her, like controlled by her little piggy. Like it's described as one of the qualities of Srimati Radharani. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke this famous verse, Kipa Vipra Kipa Nyasi Shudra Kena Nayi Ye Krishna Tadva Veda. Say Guru Hey, Hi, sorry, Say Guru Hi. That it doesn't matter if one is born in a high-class family, low-class family, if he knows the science of Krishna, then he is understood to be a guru. And at some point further, Lord Chaitanya exhibited his combined form as Radha and Krishna to Ramananda Roy. And he said, no one has seen this form before. So for the next 10 days, they began to have more talks. A lot more about Ramananda Roy. And then they talked about other subject matters other than, you know, what is the goal of life and what it means for achieving it. And I'd like to read some of these statements. On one occasion, the Lord inquired, this is actually from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of all types of education, what is the most important? And Ramananda Roy replied, no education is important other than the transcendental devotional service of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, out of all glorious activities, which is the most glorious? And the reply was, that person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? It reminds me of one capitalist who lied to Forbes to get his name on the list of the 100 most richest people in America. Anyway, he was richest in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. Chaitanya asked, of all types of distress, what is the most painful? And Ramananda replied, apart from separation of the from the devotees of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. Wow. Lord Chaitanya inquired, of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Roy said, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, among many songs, which songs consider to be the actual religion of the living entities? Ramananda Roy described that song describing the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna as superior to all other songs. Then Lord Chaitanya asked, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, what is best for the living entity? The answer was, the only auspicious activity is association with devotees of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked, what should all living entities constantly remember? The answer is the chief objects of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities and pastimes. Lord Chaitanya further inquired, out of many types of meditation, what is required for the living entities? The chief duty of all living entities is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. These are very important instructions. Lord Chaitanya asked, where should the living entity live abandoning all other places? Ramananda Roy replied, he should live in the holy place known as Vrindavan or Brajabhumi or New Goloka, where the Lord performed his rasa dance. Of course I added that. Lord Chaitanya asked, out of all the topics people listen to, what is the best for the living entities? The answer was, hearing about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is the most pleasing to the ear. Lord Chaitanya asked, among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? The chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra. Wow. That's the chief worshipable object. Wow. And then Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the destination of those who desire liberation and desire sense gratification? Ramananda replied, those who attempt to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord will have to accept bodies like those of trees. And those who were overly inclined towards sense gratification will attain the bodies of demigods. In other words, those who are pious and inclined towards sense. Obviously, if you're inclined towards sense gratification and you're not pious, then you get to be a pig. Ramananda Roy continued, those who were devoid of transcendental mellows are like crows that suck the juice from the bitter fruits of the Nimba tree of knowledge. Whereas those who enjoy mellows are like the cuckoos who eat the buds of the mango tree of love of Godhead. And finally, Ramananda Roy concluded, the unfortunate empiric philosophers taste the dry process of philosophical knowledge, whereas the devotees regularly drink the nectar of love of Krishna. Therefore, they are the most fortunate of all. And I wanted to... Oh, yes, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, exhibited his form of Shyamasundara, and then as a golden doll, and Ramananda Roy asked, what's happening? And Lord Chaitanya replied, you're an advanced devotee. You see Krishna everywhere. And Ramananda Roy said, stop being so serious. So he recognized Krishna, him as Krishna, the mood of Radharani, and then he saw the form of Radha and Krishna as one. And Lord Chaitanya said, but for you, no one has seen this form. My body is fair, in other words, golden, because it has touched the body of Radharani. Wow. Come to Puri and retire. So Ramananda Roy retired with full pension from King Prataparuja and joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another story I wanted to talk about was the story of Ramananda Roy and Pradyumna Mishra. One time, Pradyumna Mishra went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, I want to hear about the same topic she discussed with Ramananda Roy. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I don't know so much about the stuff. You better go to see Ramananda Roy. So he went to Ramananda Roy's house and he sat there and the servant told him that Ramananda Roy was dressing and teaching these dancing girls, these beautiful Devi Dasis, how to perform this Jagannath Pallava Nantaka, which is his dance that he had done before the deities. And so, you know, he was touching them, he was bathing them, he was putting perfume on the body, he was showing them all these different mudras and postures. And Pradyumna Mishra, when he heard this, after Ramananda Roy got back, he just paid respect to Ramananda Roy and didn't ask him any questions because he was a little bewildered. He went back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and described what was happening. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm a very renowned sannyasi. You know, but even if I see the wooden form of a lady, I get disturbed, basically. Of course, it's not, obviously. But Ramananda Roy is doing something that he's the only one who has the prerogative to do, because I can understand he's not identifying himself with the body at all. He's understanding that he is Lalita, or she is Lalita. And so he's completely on the spiritual platform, so he can do that. So Pradyumna Mishra went back, and he was able to hear the most nectarian pastimes from Ramananda Roy. And then later on, he went back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, did you hear about these pastimes? And Pradyumna Mishra said, yes. And basically, it's filled with the nectar from hearing from Ramananda Roy. So during the final days of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Ramananda Roy the other associates, Swarup Damodar, Goswami, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, that's 3.5 people, that's a controversial statement, they were able to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hear about these most intimate pastimes. Other than that, you know, other than with people with like Rupa Goswami and other people like that, you know, very intimate associates, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't really discuss Radha and Krishna's pastimes openly. It was just something that was only for those really, really intimate associates. It's not that he wrote books and published so many books about the intimate pastimes. Of course, there's that story about Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati Thakur wanting to publish the Gita Govinda, and he goes to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur refuses to give him permission. Finally, after 3 or 4 times, he gets permission to only publish one copy of it for himself. So, in other words, sometimes fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So we have to be very, very careful about these intimate pastimes. And we hear about these pastimes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're very careful in our approach. Bandhanvi Savadana. Just like we're careful in our approach to the spiritual master. Savadana means caution. Which in India, nobody has caution when they hear that. See that sign on the road? Caution? No, that means fast. Red light means go through. So in the same way, sometimes our Western people, they hear Sarvadhamma, that means go fast. A jump, jump, like Prabhupada said, big, big belly, big, big booty, sail on jumping melancholy. In other words, we try to imitate Hanuman. Just like when I was young, I was trying to imitate Superman. Just put on a cape and I thought I would be fly, and I jumped off a chair and I just fell on my face. So sometimes we find the young kids in the Krishna Raj movement trying to imitate Hanuman. And basically they just fall on their face. It doesn't work very well. So we have to be careful about understanding our own adhikar. That means what we have rights to read and understand. So, on that happy note, time to greet the deities. Any questions or comments? That's it. Okay, hope everybody's supposed to.